Dan Ash is the head, the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He's in Oklahoma Wednesday and Thursday, Wednesday night at a forum in Woodward, Thursday morning a similar forum at the University of Central Oklahoma in Edmond, in both cases talking about the future of the lesser prairie chicken, the possibility that his agency might end up issuing an endangered species listing of the little bird in five southwestern states: Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, and Colorado. We talked with Dan Ash after his first forum encounter with Oklahomans on the subject in Woodward. Gail Banzit with Oklahoma Farm Bureau and yours truly talked with Dan Ash after that forum about his invitation to Oklahoma and what he heard from the folks that gathered.
Director Dash, thank you for being here in Oklahoma. Tell me a little bit about, you know, the invitation that you got from Senator Inhofe. Why were you willing to come out here to Woodward, Oklahoma?
Well, Senator Inhofe is the ranking Republican on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. So that's the Senate, that's the committee in the U.S. Senate that oversees the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So during confirmation, I met several times with Senator Inhofe. He was forceful in his interest in this issue in particular, the issue of the lesser prairie chicken, and said that he would like one of the first things that I do officially as the Fish and Wildlife Service Director, should I be confirmed, would be to come to Oklahoma and listen to the concerns of the people here. And I told him I would be happy to do that. So he's a very effective advocate and representative of the people here, and he understands their concerns. He wanted me to understand their concerns, so I'm really happy to be here. And I would say that the people were just extraordinary. I mean, it's very moving, and again, exactly what I would expect from Oklahoma, which is hospitality, but you know, people being blunt about their concerns. I appreciate that.
So what'd you hear?
I heard concerns about potential effects of Endangered Species Act listing, the potential economic effects of that on the livelihood of working producers, ranchers, and farmers. I heard concern on the part of utility industry about transmission, about wind power, about oil and gas development, about transportation projects, and so I heard concern about. Unknown things that people, are uncertain about in terms of what a listing would mean for them, and hopefully we helped clarify a little bit of that. But again, I hope they heard me saying that we have a burden as we go forward to bring more certainty, more information, to be good communicators and good partners as we go forward.
What was your thought about Secretary Scheer's plea, I guess you could call it, to get a couple of more years to allow some of the voluntary things that are in place now to go forward?
I certainly understand that, and I think he's making a good faith suggestion, and it was clear. I mean, what he's asking for is time to allow the good work that's being done by the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation to take effect, and I think, you know, again, that's a good faith effort and offer on his part, and it's clear that a substantial amount of effort is being made. The complication that we have in this regard is the law has statutory deadlines. So once a listing starts to proceed forward, we have to make determinations according to a statutory time schedule. If we don't do that, then we're vulnerable to somebody coming in and taking us to court. We may have some flexibility. I told the Secretary that we would go back and explore that. It's not the 24 months that he requested, but we may have some flexibility.
After 2 hours of questions and comments, what's your plan of action now? And another meeting in Edmond coming up. What's your plan when you head back to Washington?
The meeting in Edmond, my plan is to listen. I learned a lot tonight, and again, it's always a joy, really, to come out and meet people and have the opportunity to understand how they feel about the work that we do. I think so. Listen again tomorrow when I go back to Washington. As I said, I You know, it's always good to have that perspective as you're considering these kind of decisions, to understand the perspectives of people who are potentially affected by those decisions. So I'll bear that in mind as we go forward. I think we'll be more determined to, again, bring more information to bear so that we can hopefully, again, increase the confidence of people that we can deal with these issues. And I was saying to another gentleman in the moments after the meeting ended that when I see us facing issues like this in an agricultural landscape, it actually heartens me a bit, because we have such a good record of working on issues like this, because, as I said, we the working landscapes are generally good for wildlife. These are good stewards of the land. And so when we're facing these issues in an agricultural landscape, we are already ahead of the game. And so, again, and buttressed by the great work that Oregon Department of Wildlife Conservation is already doing, they're organizing all of the states, so the five states are working together, then we can lean on that as we go forward.
Tell me about your relationship. You talked about the work with NRCS with Dave Fly.
We are, I'll say just a brief commercial for Chief Dave White. He is an outstanding individual to work with, and on some of the most difficult and challenging conservation issues, like sage grouse, for instance, Dave has been an outstanding leader and has really provided the support and the technical assistance and the tools that the working landowners need to deal with that issue. And he's bringing the same approach to the lesser prairie chicken. He's hired a chief scientist, or is in the process of hiring a chief scientist to bring the best information available to this. He's putting money on the table for WIP and EQIP to provide technical assistance to the landowner. As we go forward, I'm sure that his commitment to that will increase and grow, as it has in the sage grouse. As the states showed their commitment, he showed his commitment, commensurate with their level of effort. So having Dave White and NRCS in our corner again is a huge advantage. He's a great individual. He's a great supporter of the agricultural producers and a great supporter of conservation. So that's an asset for us.
And finally, when can we expect a decision on the lesser prairie chicken?
Recognizing that that Secretary Scheer has asked us to consider additional time, so I want to respect that request. But our existing timetable would be to make a decision and propose a listing by September of 2012. If it is warranted, we would propose a listing by 2012, and that listing would then become final in the fall of 2013. So that would be the rough timetable, again, recognizing that the Secretary has asked us to consider an extension to that.
One last question on that actual decision. You talked about the biology. Are we talking about just sheer numbers, or what would determine that decision?
Well, we look at there are a number of factors that we have to consider under the law. So we look at the status of the species, so that would be the number. We look at the threats to the species, so that would be both the extent of the threat and the imminence of the threat. So if the major threat to the species is habitat loss and fragmentation, then we would look at, all right, it would look at the pace and the scale of that threat. Is it increasing? Is it appear to be decreasing? Does it appear to be stable? So we look at the status of the species, the population numbers, the amount of habitat available. We look at the threats to the species, and we put all of that together in making a listing determination.
Director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Dan Ash, in Oklahoma, talking about the lesser prairie chicken. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.